Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Two of the biggest statewide races this midterm will have a considerable impact on how California's approach to criminal justice and the check and balance of state finances. In the race for Attorney General, incumbent Rob Bonta, appointed by Governor Newsom, is facing off against Republican Nathan Hochman, a former federal prosecutor who practices law in Southern California. The two candidates have deeply opposing views when it comes to public safety, an issue top of mind for many voters across the state. And the race for a less publicized or even understood statewide position is getting a lot of attention. State Comptroller. Democrat Malia Cohen, the first Black woman elected to the state's Board of Equalization, is running against Republican Lonnie Chen, a policy expert who is the son of Taiwanese immigrants and formerly served under both the Obama and George W. Bush administrations. Both Republican candidates have expressed some optimism that they could achieve something their party hasn't accomplished in over 15 years in California, win a statewide race. But both face steep uphill battles in ending this slump. Joining us now to unpack both races is Ben Christopher, political reporter for CalMatters. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning.
So you recently sat down for, I think, like an hour-long interview with Attorney General Rob Bonta. What were some of the key points or moments from that interview voters should know about?
Yeah, the Attorney General came into our office for a pretty wide-ranging discussion with the staff at CalMatters. Let's see, we spent some time talking about his office's role in enforcing state housing law, going after cities that are not complying with requirements to allow for denser development. And it's kind of been an unusual development out of his office. We talked about crime, obviously. Probably the most notable thing from that part of the conversation is that Bonta, who is known as a pretty stalwart progressive, came out of the assembly with that reputation. He did say that he was open to reconsidering at least very narrowly one provision of Proposition 57, which was a criminal justice reform measure that voters passed in 2016. He said he would like to make it harder for people convicted of human trafficking and sexual assault to qualify for early release from prison. And that's been kind of a message that Republicans and conservatives have been hammering at for months now, or maybe years now. So it was interesting that he sort of came around on that issue. And we talked about his office's role in pushing back against some of the more recent high-profile controversial decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court by championing California as a so-called sanctuary state for abortion rights and by pushing for legislation and other policies that would tighten up certain gun regulations. So, yeah, we covered quite a lot.
Yeah, that is indeed a lot. What are some of the biggest differences or even potentially changes that Attorney General Bonta has made when compared to his predecessor, Javier Becerra?
Yeah, I think what struck me during the conversation and just kind of doing an overview of his tenure so far is that he's just kind of broadened the scope of the Department of Justice in ways that make it sort of a broader scope than as you mentioned, his predecessor, Javier Becerra, or really any of his predecessors. I mentioned housing. That's probably the most obvious example. One of his first acts as Attorney General, he created something called a housing strike force within his office to keep tabs on cities that aren't complying with state housing law. During his conversation with us, he told us that, you know, housing laws are not optional in California, and kind of made a point that he was kind of putting his foot down on this issue in a way that maybe some of his predecessors have not. And you know, he's also announced, I think it was a few months ago, he announced a new office within the DOJ to be a clearinghouse for sort of best practices on gun violence prevention. And so sort of another area that maybe you wouldn't necessarily associate the Department of Justice of California as being a place that disseminates academic research. But he's sort of waded into that. He's been pretty aggressive in antitrust, in the antitrust arena, particularly in tech. He's been more eager than some of his predecessors to insert his office into local scandals and issues, particularly in Los Angeles. He announced when he sat down with us, he announced that day that he was going to be intervening in Los Angeles, launching an investigation into possible voter rights violations after those tapes were leaked
of
LA City Council members. Yeah, using this racist language as they were talking about how to divide up the city's districts. And so, you know, I think for me, the takeaway is that Bonta he has a pretty expansive view of what the AG's office in California can be doing and what it should be doing.
You also sat down with his opponent, Nathan Hochman, who's a former federal prosecutor. What can you tell us about him and how would his approach to the AG's office be different?
Yeah, Nathan Hochman's an interesting guy. He's a career lawyer, as you mentioned. He started as a federal prosecutor in California, where he worked out of the LA office. He worked there for 7 years, working on all kinds of issues: corruption, fraud, environmental crimes. He then took a role at the DOJ as an assistant U.S. attorney general under the George W. Bush administration, where he focused on tax compliance, and then he switched over to private practice and has worked on the defense side, often looking at tax evasion cases. So he has had some pretty high profile clients down in LA, like Lauryn Hill, for example. And so I think his main selling point is that he offers himself up as someone, you know, he doesn't have any elected experience. He doesn't have any political experience. He says that he's not a politician. He's just kind of a legal who has worked on both sides of many issues. And though he is a Republican, like a lot of Republicans running statewide in California, he's really stressed that he wants to be kind of an apolitical actor, which is, of course, a contrast with Bonta, who came out of the state legislature and is much more of a political animal.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big difference between the two, and you just laid it out, is Bonta has extensive experience as a state legislature, while Hochman doesn't have the legislative experience, but has, what, like 3 decades of criminal justice experience. How has this shaped their campaigns for this race?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and to be clear, Bonta is also a lawyer. He's a law degree from Yale and worked for the San Francisco City's Attorney's Office for a brief stint. So it's not completely completely random that he ended up in the attorney general's office. But yeah, most of his career has been in politics. He came out of city government in the Bay Area, served in the assembly, representing Oakland and some of Alameda County for almost 10 years before Governor Gavin Newsom appointed him to this position. And so I think, you know, in some ways, the sort of contrast that I laid out earlier, where Bonta has sort of a much more expansive and maybe sort of policy agenda setting idea of what the Department of Justice can do, that maybe is shaped by the fact that he came out of the legislature, whereas Hochman is kind of just, he just really stresses his nuts and bolts approach, which is, you know, he's a lawyer, he's just there to enforce the law. He really has bent over backwards not to take contentious policy issues, which I think is probably, you know, part of the reputation that he's hoping to cultivate as an apolitical actor. It's also politically convenient as someone who's hoping to have Republicans vote for him, but also not take positions that are going to alienate the Democratic-leaning electorate on the whole.
Would you say he has more of a traditionalist approach to the AG's office, Hochman?
I think that might be the case. I mean, certainly he's been stressing law and order kind of issues, and so that is sort of more the traditional area for the AG, certainly the more traditional area that AG candidates stress, talking about law and order. Although, again, as someone who has worked in private practice and has done a lot of civil work, he has stressed the fact that he'd be ready to take on plenty of areas of the law if he were to be elected.
You know, crime and public safety has resonated as a key issue among voters in California. A recent PPIC survey suggests about a third of Californians believe violence and crime is a big problem in their community. How do they each view crime and public safety and their roles in reducing crime and public safety across the state?
Nathan Hochman has made crime and safety sort of the forefront of his campaign. You know, when he first launched his campaign, this was, you know, back before the primary, I think law and order was certainly top of mind for a lot of voters. It was dominating a lot of the news coverage at the time. I think that concern seems to have receded a bit, at least statewide. There are obviously exceptions in certain regions or certain neighborhoods, but it seems like crime has receded as a top issue relative to maybe other concerns for voters, like inflation and housing costs and potentially abortion as an election issue. And so, you know, I think back before the primary, there was a sense that if ever a Democrat was going to lose a statewide race in California, something that hasn't happened since 2006, as you mentioned at the top, it would be Rob Bonta, because crime is this major issue, because he's such a progressive, because there seems to be a turn against progressives like Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. But then the primary election happened. Botta got about 54% of the vote. And I think there's also this broader question of whether when a voter grows concerned about crime in their neighborhood or their city or their town, do they blame the attorney general, or is that something they associate more with their mayor or their police chief or their DA? And again, kind of looking back at the Chesa Boudin recall in San Francisco as an example, there was obviously a very fierce local reaction against the district attorney there, and an expression of concern about crime and maybe disorder in general in San Francisco. But at the same time, on that same election, 75% of voters in San Francisco backed Bonta. So it's not necessarily clear sort of how the concern about crime affects the electoral prospects of either one of these candidates.
Yeah, that is interesting. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters political reporter Ben Christopher about California's attorney general's race. Now let's move to another notable statewide race, and that's for state controller. It's really a race that doesn't typically garner a ton of headlines for those who may not know. Can you explain what the state controller does?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. What do they control? I imagine very few voters actually know what the controller does, but the controller is basically the chief financial officer for the state. They make sure that payments are made on time. If you're a state government employee, and if you get a check in the mail for your salary or your wages, it will have the controller Betty's name signed at the bottom. So they kind of serve as sort of an accountant for the state in that way. They also serve as an overseer, a watchdog. They oversee the state auditor's office. And so I think that role has been front and center in this race, particularly from the Republican in the race, Lonnie Chen, who has said that, despite the fact that he's a Republican, despite the fact that California voters have been reticent to back a Republican for statewide office for quite a long time, that this is an important role for an outsider, someone with an independent view.
Yeah, Republican Lonnie Chen is up against Democrat Malia Cohen. Why do you think this race is gaining more attention than it historically does?
So I think there are a couple possible answers to that question. Maybe the glib and not very satisfying one is that people like me, political reporters, we got excited about this race because most of the other statewide races were pretty boring. The race for governor is not looking particularly close. The race for U.S. Senate, not close. There aren't as many props on this year's ballot as usual. And so we've looked at the controller's race because this one is actually looking like it could be close. So that's sort of the glib answer. But I think there's also, it's interesting. What's interesting about this race is that ordinarily, if you have a Democrat and a Republican on a ballot running against one another in California for statewide office, the outcome is almost preordained. But Chen, I think, maybe has a chance, and that's in part, as I said, because of the nature of the job, because the controller does serve that watchdog role. And so if you read the newspaper editorial board endorsements of Chen, and he has gotten the vast majority of them in California, it's always some version of you want your state auditor to not be too buddy-buddy with the rest of state government. You want someone who's going to be willing to sort of tick people off. And so if California voters are going to go sort of against character and vote for a Republican, then maybe this is the job that they would choose. And so I think that's sort of why it's gotten a little bit more attention.
Do you think, given the fact that a Republican candidate received more endorsements than the Democratic candidate for controller, that that's actually going to translate into votes in a state where Democrats outnumber Republicans nearly 2-1?
It's a really good question. I think this will be a test of the relevance of newspaper editorial board endorsements, if nothing else, because it's been pretty overwhelming. I think the San Francisco Examiner has endorsed Malia Cohen. I think every other major paper in the state has backed Chen.
Malia Cohen is also touting her experience on the Board of Equalization as a reason why voters should elect her, based on your reporting on the state's economy and budget. And this is also a lesser known position in state office. What can you tell us about the Board of Equalization, and how could Cohen's time there actually benefit Californians?
Yeah, I think if there's an elected position in California that is even more obscure than the controller, it's this member of the Board of Equalization. I think probably a lot of voters have never heard of the Board of Equalization. It has kind of a funny history. It's the only elected tax administration body in the country. and it's tasked with making sure that counties are collecting property taxes fairly and other kinds of taxes, and sort of adjudicating tax disputes that people or businesses might have. The history here is that in 2017, the board actually had much of its authority curtailed significantly. There were sort of a rolling series of scandals, so the legislature stripped it of much of its actual duties and gave them to other areas of the government. So since 2018, which is in fact when Cohen was elected, it's been holding hearings, writing reports, providing guidance. And so I think that probably does help Cohen in that she has spent the last 4 years sort of really in the weeds of some of these pretty thorny tax discussions, but it hasn't given her much in the way of concrete accomplishments to point to just because of the nature of the job.
Yeah. Going back to both of these statewide races, I believe candidates for either race, they haven't debated, right? Why is that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, if you ask, I asked the Attorney General Bonta about this, and he got a little bit prickly about it and said, well, in fact, there was a discussion they had with the Sacramento Bee editorial board, and that constituted a debate. I don't know if that really counts as a debate, but that's a semantic discussion. But no, I think it's a trend that you're seeing in a lot of these races, where if you are a Democrat in California running statewide, basically, your chief imperative is to not screw up, not say anything that's going to tick anyone off, to continue being a Democrat, and hope that your opponent doesn't get too much attention. And so in both cases, you have Lon Hee-Chen and Nathan Hochman just pounding the table, trying to get their Democratic opponents to debate, because it will give them an opportunity to introduce themselves to voters, to sort of stand out and sort of shake up that status quo. Whereas Malia Cohen and Rob Bonta have been pretty reticent to give them that platform.
Well, in the meantime, since we probably won't get debates for these races, we have reporting like yours. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us and breaking all this down.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ben Christopher is a political reporter for Cal Matters, helping us unpack the races for California Attorney General and State Controller. Up next, we're going to hone in on Sacramento County's five largest school districts, where more than half of the candidates for school board are parents. We'll learn more about their views on race, equity, and the achievement gap. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.